listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time till noon, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. My guests today are Kate O'Brien Minson and Randall Redfield, who will be discussing integrated listening systems, which is brain training to improve students' processing, attention, and performance. In 1990, Kate and her husband, Dr. Ron Minson, co-founded one of the first listening centers in the U.S. based on the methodology developed in Europe by sound therapy pioneer Dr. Alfred Tomadas. In 2001, she and her husband developed training courses and equipment so that educators and therapists could integrate listening therapy into their practices. 6 years later, Kate co-founded Integrated Listening Systems, leveraging the storage capacity of the iPod to make the equipment portable. Kate currently manages the training and administration of ILS, which trains hundreds of professionals worldwide each year. Randall is a senior marketing executive experienced in startup operations and international business. He was vice president of marketing at a movement therapy company, which he first approached the Minsons to conduct a pilot study combining movement with listening therapy. The results convinced him to join forces with the Minsons to work towards improving the listening program technology. After 2 years of collaborating with audio engineers and speech, movement, and yoga therapists, the ILS program was born. Kate, Randall, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you for having us, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
It's very good to have you. I had a chance to go over your website and really go over some of the things that you're doing, and I think it's pretty phenomenal. I've studied a little bit just on how we learn as humans, as far as some of us that are more visual, some that are more auditory, and some that are more kinesthetic. And I like how you've blended some of this, and it sounds like the results have been quite good.
They have been. It's been very exciting.
Well, and actually one of the things that I saw that in regards to motivation, and let me ask Kate first, you know, what was your specific motivation for creating this?
Well, like so many of your listeners, Alan, I have an adopted daughter who had some very significant learning disabilities. And we felt like we left no stone unturned in terms of trying to find help for her. And the difficulty was that she was diagnosed with a learning disability, but they didn't know the source of it. So consequently, she went from year to year and ended up as a junior in high school, still performing at a third grade level. So we fortunately had a good friend who mentioned this auditory program where you listen through headphones. We'd never heard of it before because it was new to this country. And she agreed to do yet one more therapy after all of the different interventions. And the results for her were so dramatic that it really changed the direction of my husband's career and mine as well.
Now, tell us a little bit. So the parents that are out there that are maybe struggling with their, and it sounds like, okay, she was in high school at the time. They're struggling with someone in junior high or in high school. How did you know that this would help? In other words, you know, what were some of the signs that you were seeing, and how did you not know that it wasn't just the basic things that a lot of us think, that maybe they're just not trying hard enough, or maybe the school system is not really, you know, functioning as well as they should? I mean, we hear all of those things. How did you know that something like this, you know, would help, and what were some of the things that you were seeing that people might be seeing in their own kids and yet think that it's something else?
Well, let me set the stage a little bit. We're going back to the mid-1970s. So she was diagnosed with a learning disability when she was in first grade. So there was a very astute teacher who picked up the fact that she was having problems and identified the fact that it was a reading problem, not a behavioral problem. But what we had is a history of special ed, resource, all of these different interventions, and the results were that at the end of the year, nothing really helped. So like so many of the children that I've seen over the years, when you have a child who tries and tries, month after month, year after year, and they are unable to improve their performance, they eventually lose their motivation. And that's exactly what happened for Erica. She actually became fairly depressed because she knew that she was not able to perform like the other children. So when it came time for this program that a therapist told us about, we didn't know that it was going to work. We didn't have any history that anything would work for her. My husband is a psychiatrist. She had been evaluated by psychiatrists, could not take medication because of her severe reactions to medication. And this was really our last chance, I think. And it's interesting because over the years, I have seen many clients come into our clinic and feel like we were the last hope for them.
Well, okay, Randall, what about you? What motivated you?
Well, I was coming into this from a completely different place. I have no background in healthcare. It wasn't a child's problem or even my own problem that got me into this. I had been hired by a company that had come here from England where they had 8 clinics around the UK that had a therapy that was basically combining balance with visual tracking. This was a therapy that was done 15 minutes twice a day. And in the UK, they had seen fantastic results improving kids' reading abilities. And they were expanding to the U.S., and they had hired me to help them build the company over here. They launched with 5 clinics around the country, around the U.S. And so I got in. I started out trying to market this therapy and, of course, became fascinated by the notion that these children were able to improve their reading abilities through exercises. That was a really novel thought at the time. Again, this was only like 6 or 7 years ago. It seems like a couple of decades in terms of how far along neuroscience has come since then and the way we look at learning difficulties. But as we were getting into the program here, we realized there was an enormous attrition rate. A lot of kids were not able to stay on the program. It was a home-based program, and it required a lot of self-discipline. Mm-hmm. So in order to make the program more effective, I started looking out there in the field, trying to find things that would, other therapies that might be integrated with this balance and movement program to make it more effective and make it quicker.
Okay, well,
so that's what led me to the Minsons.
Right. Now,
they had a clinic on the south side of Denver, and I called up Dr. Minson and told him I'd read about their therapy and was curious if there's any way that the auditory piece that they did might be combined with the visual tracking and balance exercises of the company I was working with. And he said, yes, there's certainly a way to do that, and it seems like a reasonable thing to think that it might make the whole therapy not only faster but more effective. So about that was around 2004, and that led to our first meeting with the company I worked for and Dr. Ron Mintz and Kate. And one thing led to another. We did a trial study with 20 children that were diagnosed with ADHD. And the results were so compelling that we decided to move forward. 18 of the 20 saw a very significant change using the Minson's auditory program.
Well, now,
with that, I went back to my boss and the owner of the British company and said, hey, isn't there some way we can work together with these folks? Look at the results they're getting. And unfortunately, I did not get a positive response. One thing led to another, and I ended up leaving that British company and going down and working with the Minsons to see if we could make their auditory program better, more portable, less expensive, and also combine it with movement.
Now, you mentioned about the research. Define to me when you said that there was substantial, growth. Give us an example. I mean, so for the people out there listening who, you know, whose children are struggling in school, kind of quantify it for us.
Well, changes in ADHD or changes in attention are difficult to quantify. Again, back then, that was a little trial study that we had done just to get a sense of how effective the auditory training piece was. Since then, we've had some controlled studies and a number of third-party research completed, which have shown that in the areas of attention, auditory processing, reading, we're seeing very significant changes. By significant, in the reading area, we see an average of about a two-year gain after a three-month program. Auditory processing improves anywhere between 40 and 80%.
Nice.
We've got a very, very strong record in remediating auditory processing disorder, and that is a lesser-known but widely existing problem among kids with the so-called learning difficulty label. Okay?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, it certainly helps, and I think for a lot of us, yeah, to be able to quantify it again. So, you know, we have a child, you know, let's say that we have a child that's in, you know, whatever, fifth grade, and they're reading at a kindergarten level. You know, a lot of people now, and especially with the cuts in, in funding for schools, and the schools are cut really bad in special needs. So, you know, in many cases, I think parents are being told, well, you know, maybe they're not trying hard enough, you know, maybe they're not focusing and things like that. So I think for parents to be able to have an idea, you know, what signs can we see that might suggest that our child would be a good fit for this? And then secondly, what increases, you know, might we expect? So I think that what you've said explains part of that. But maybe still tell us a little bit more about what, a typical case, just a typical situation with a child, and what some of the initial symptoms were and what the growth that came out of that.
So in order to really answer your question well, Alan, I think what we have to do is kind of take some of the different subsections, really, if we look at the children that are having difficulty in school. So if we start with a child who is having a learning difficulty, like my daughter, then what happens generally is she's identified or he is identified as somebody who is not reading at grade level.
Right.
Now, it may be that and only that without any other issues going on. Sometimes what will happen is that the inability to read and perform like the other children will promote a little bit of anxiety. So they start getting a little restless in school and maybe being a little bit disruptive with some of the other children.
Mm-hmm.
These days we are also seeing, and it's interesting looking back, I started a clinic in 1990 and I've seen a significant change over the years. We have children coming in now with sensory processing issues. These are children who don't regulate themselves well. They don't modulate their behavior well. They don't transition from one environment to another easily. They are easily upset if there are loud noises. They go into a store or a grocery store with their parent, and just the stimulation is overwhelming for them. And oftentimes, parents are blamed for not parenting well, but this is an issue where there's just too much information coming at this very sensitive nervous system, and they can't hold back their responses. So what we have seen with these children is a significant improvement in their ability to regulate themselves, to go to a place of calm, to not be in fight or flight all the time, but to be calm and centered, if you will, so that then their brains are available for learning. We have children that have a difficulty processing sequences of information, so that if mom says, I'd like you to go upstairs, get into your pajamas, brush your teeth, and come back down. They can't hold that information in order, let alone even holding it in memory. So the parents might go upstairs 20 minutes later and find them sitting on the bedroom floor playing with a game because they didn't hold the information, couldn't remember it. And these are the kinds of things that we see remarkable changes in over the course of generally one semester.
See, and that's great. And that's kind of what I was getting at is, as I was trying to point out, is that if a child is given, like you said, a sequence of things to do, and they maybe go up and do one of them, and then they just start playing. Well, I think at times we're thinking, well, they just didn't want to do that. You know, not that they didn't process it or that they only processed the first piece. So how is your system helping them to, and I guess what, slow down the brain maybe, but to process each thing and be able to move through it?
Well, the ILS program is combining stimulations. We've got an auditory component and a visual tracking component and a movement piece. And through the auditory and visual and movement stimulation, we are activating sensory systems that are involved in processing information. You've got your vestibular system based in the inner ear. Proprioceptive is another word that's used by OTs a lot, which is the ability of the joints and the muscles to operate effectively in reaction to gravity. And you've got your visual tracking system. So every time you go to write a sentence or read a word, you're using a combination of these different systems. If they aren't functioning properly, sometimes it's very hard to do simple tasks, things that we would normally consider simple. Right. And those can often involve memory. So by stimulating these three different systems simultaneously, we're essentially training the brain to process information.
Gotcha. Now, does this tie in at all with dyslexia?
Very much so. Dyslexia is a reading disorder, and we see it's probably one of the strongest areas where we see results is in reading change. There are a lot of things involved in reading, from visual tracking to processing to memory, and even before you get into reading to being able to access that part of the brain, you've got to be somewhat regulated and able to attend. A lot of therapists that I talk to that are speech therapists working with dyslexic and other children with reading problems, they say that they can't even use the tools that they have because the child is unable to sit still for 15 minutes and attend. That's one area where our therapy is particularly strong in that it's helping children relax and self-regulate and focus on what they need to do. A lot of teachers very much appreciate it because then it allows their tools to be effective.
Okay. Now, we've got a question that's coming in right now, and as I look on the screen, it says, does this technology work for dementia and or Alzheimer's?
Regrettably, it does not. Generally, those diagnoses come after difficulties have been there for a long time. What we hope to do at some point is to do some tests with seniors to see that we would hope that it might. What they're recommending these days is that stimulation is important for slowing down the onset of dementia or Alzheimer's, and so we're hoping at some point to be able to do studies to demonstrate that.
Well, great. Well, that which actually brings another question, and that is, I mean, what populations or age groups are you working with? Or you've seen this to be able to help with?
Generally, our populations are starting around 2 or 2.5, and then there's no ceiling on the other end. So we have a lot of our schools, preschools, are working with young children around 2 and 3 and so forth, and some therapists are working with young children. We would say probably the most popular age is around 5 to 9, because now with early intervention, children are being identified as having difficulties much earlier on. And that having been said, we actually have some therapists that are working with infants and toddlers.
Okay, and then what about boomers and seniors? I'm a boomer myself. Are you working with some of us, and are there some benefits for this age group?
Absolutely. I'm a boomer myself, Alan, so yes, this is something that can really help not only in if there's a problem, but just in our overall optimal performance or peak performance, if you will. I find that there are a lot of people that don't have the energy that they once had, don't have the motivation, the enthusiasm, and actually doing an integrated program like this can really help. I had the opportunity to work with people who were having balance issues, and we had found that their balance really, really improved over the course of 3 to 4 months.
Wow, so you're saying that it's actually improving like your equilibrium?
That's right.
That's great.
We are getting feedback from adults that have been using ILS in the field. We haven't done any studies on this, so right now it's all anecdotal. But we're seeing the biggest change in three main areas, and it's not a surprise to us in that we see the same areas changing in the children using our program, and that's mental processing, memory, and balance. Those three areas are the most noted or most commonly reported areas where adults and seniors using ILS are seeing change. We really can't say yet as to whether or not we might be effective as a preventative measure for something like Alzheimer's or dementia or one of those more serious diagnoses, but we do feel it's pretty safe based on what we've seen so far to say that we can help keep boomers sharper as they age.
Okay, so yeah, sort of like it's not being worked with Alzheimer's, but it may be helping already with half timers. So if
that's right, half timers.
If I'm only forgetting about that. Half the things, then we got a shot, huh?
Exactly.
So
that's right.
Now you mentioned you're doing a lot of work with a lot of the younger kids. You know, if you're starting with ones two and a half years old, how difficult is it to get the kids to really do the program?
That's a great question. A lot of the very young children have been identified as having some kind of an issue because of early intervention, and so they're in some kind of therapy. So the therapy is engaging, and it helps distract them initially from the fact that they have a pair of headphones on. Occasionally, we see this used for infants, and they have infants can't really reach up and touch the headphones, and again, that would be coupled with the therapy. We have some children that are around 14 to 18 months. It's not the biggest population, but they are more likely to reach up and touch the headphones, maybe even attempt to take them off. And we have ways of really helping to accommodate them to headphones. And if all else fails, they could actually do their listening while they are taking a nap.
Oh, nice.
And I should probably mention that a program for a young child like that is just going to involve the listening piece, and it's only going to be 5 to 10 minutes long, very short.
Okay, it's sort of like almost like a hypnosis type of program. I'm thinking if you're doing it while you sleep, I mean, is it affecting sort of a different part of the brain?
Well, there is no evidence that would say that we cannot impact the vestibular system while sleeping. So, and the brain is always alert and awake and processing information. So the brain is attuned all the time, and the vestibular input to the balance system would be happening whether awake or asleep.
Nice. Now, and we're talking about pretty wide groups of people or wide populations. How customizable is the system?
We have created it so that it's customizable for all different types of therapeutic objectives. We have programs that help with sensory processing, which is used specifically for children with autism or sensory processing disorder. We have programs that are specifically designed for reading and auditory processing. Other programs that are designed for adults that are just looking for optimal performance enhancement. So it's highly customizable, and we've designed it so that it's fun. Back to your last question, it's very hard to generalize as to how a child might react to it or how engaged they might become, but for the most part, we receive feedback from parents and from clinicians that kids come into the clinic or get ready to do it at home, and they're jazzed about it. They're excited about it. It's fun. It's not like, okay, Johnny, let's go to the dentist kind of thing. For the most part, it's considered fun and is customizable.
Well, that sounds good. I want to touch on a little bit, and if you can give your website so people can know if you want additional information in regards to the integrated listening systems, if you can give your website now, we're going to go to a break. And anybody, if you want to follow along, you can go directly to their website while you're listening to us as well and follow along with us. So what is the website they can go to learn more?
It's integratedlistening.com. www.integratedlistening.com. And on the website, you'll see different links for research pages and a lot of different information that's supporting our conversation here today.
All right. Those of you that are at a computer, if you want to pull that up as well while you're listening to us, if you're driving in your car, please don't do that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in about a minute and 15.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about brain training to improve students' processing, attention, and performance. And I might add, not just students, even us boomers and everybody else. Now, we've had a couple of listener questions that have come in, so I want to share those. First says, several of the children in our family, that says, parentheses, nieces and nephews, have been diagnosed with ADD, one with bipolar disorder. Are doctors accepting and integrating your system with their treatment programs?
Well, we have doctors that are using the program for some of their own family members, and we have doctors that are making referrals to our associates throughout the country. On the whole, I would say that this is not within the purview of most pediatricians and physicians. They don't really know a lot about the causes or the root causes of auditory processing problems or sensory processing issues. So it's an educational issue that we're tackling and trying to raise the bar throughout the country. Dr. Edward Hallowell, who's a very well-known psychiatrist, is a big proponent of this work, and you could actually go to his website and look at some of his newsletters where he references ILS.
Okay. Are there any situations now to where insurance is covering this, maybe in lieu of other types of treatment?
Not on the whole. This is our approach to this is that this is an educational intervention. It is one for training the brain, and therefore it is not really recognized as something that is reimbursable through insurance.
Okay. Well, which brings me back to public education. And I know that, that from a special needs standpoint, taking California, for instance, it's about a 40% across the board cuts that have been placed on the schools. Is there any funding that's being used to get this into the schools? And could we possibly be able to convince them that by doing this in the long run, it's actually going to be more cost effective?
That's a good point, Alan. This is a tough nut to crack, the whole education system cuts. The same thing's going on here in Colorado. Big cuts. A lot of the therapists and special ed teachers are being lost. And it's a very tough situation. Having said that, there does seem to be a silver lining in a lot of different school scenarios. Federal stimulus funds are out there. We've had a number of different schools access those, receive them, and order equipment and training from us. So that's very positive. We've got a couple different school systems right now around the country. I should say more than a couple, probably a dozen or two, that are talking with us about implementing ILS as an economic measure. Our therapy is roughly $150 per student. If you were to buy, say, one unit and spread that cost across eight children. At $150 per child, a three-month therapy is very, very cost-effective by most school standards. And, of course, the results speak for themselves. So even though there are cuts, we are being contacted by schools now more than ever.
Well, and I think that's great. And I'm making a note as we're speaking. If I hear you right, if I wanted to make a donation, one of my sons goes to a private school, if I wanted to make a donation to that school and for them to get a unit, you're saying that it can be used by up to eight children? Does that make sense?
More than eight children. We pick that as a sort of average. The typical cost for one unit for a school is going to be around $1,400. Anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400. And we have, in fact, a number of schools doing some very creative fundraising whereby they will have someone, a therapist or an ILS-trained person, come and do a presentation at the school and have the parents all donate X amount of dollars for X number of systems to be used in the school. That kind of thing is going on more and more. In public schools, of course, they're typically going after foundations and government monies. But a lot of the private schools are getting very creative in the way that they raise money for this therapy.
Right. Well, make sure that we talk afterwards. And again, for a lot of the people that are listening, and we get to a lot of private schools, a lot of special needs schools throughout the country. And I know that there are admissions people listening. I know that there are people in a in positions to where you're making decisions for your school. So not only can you get in touch with them, but get in touch with me. And if I can help you put that together, if I can help you do the fundraising part, let's see if we can get things like this going. I know that some years ago, I went to a seminar where they talked about, you know, this type of training to where you're getting an auditory, kinesthetic, and visual training. And there was really, really positive results with all the kids that they were working with. And I see some real similarities. So, you know, I like that. And as I said, I'm making a note myself. I'm going to talk to my own son's school and see what it would take. Now, so what you're saying is that if a school were to buy a unit, you're going to send somebody out that's going to train someone within that school to help the kids operate it correctly?
Well, we offer trainings throughout the country, Alan, and so our preference, whenever possible, is that we can do an on-site training, and if there's a demand for coming to a particular area, we can always discuss that. An alternative, however, is that we make it available as a distance course. So there are regions all over the country where we may not be coming back for another 9 or 10 months. And so in the interim, we have people take a distance training course, which means that they're reviewing all of the materials that we would have in a one-day training, and then they have about an hour's conversation and coaching with one of our staff, and that's usually Randall or me. And so what we try to do is to make it as accessible as possible, because our children really don't have time to wait. That's how I always felt about my daughter. She doesn't have the time to lose another year. So our trainings are accessible through a couple of different ways.
Okay. Share with that. And one of the things, even though you're going to share some of them now, is this also on your website as far as the trainings? So you have some trainings that are already predetermined in different locations?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right. We have locations listed on the training page of our website. We can be contacted directly through info@integratedlistening.com.
All right.
By any of your listeners. And of course, we'd love to talk to you about this offline, about your own son's school.
Absolutely. And at least, again, everybody, you can go to the website. You can get where those trainings are going to be. But share with us where the ones that are in Southern California are and when.
Well, we have a couple coming up. Let me see if I've got the dates right here. We have one in Torrance, California on July 17th, and another October 2nd in San Diego. And this is a one-day training, both of those. It's a long day. It's 8:30 to 5:30. And most of the people that come for training are educators and therapists. For parents who are interested in doing the training, in using the equipment within their own family, they are also welcome to come to the training.
All right. So you have therapists that are using it in their private practice that are coming to a training like this, as well as educators that might be representing a particular school or district.
That's right. That's right. Most of the people coming to the training are physical therapists, occupational therapists, pediatricians, special ed teachers, literacy teachers. Who am I missing, Kate?
Well, physical therapists, anybody involved in helping a child meet the developmental and educational landmarks.
All right. We've got another listener question. It says, I have heard a lot about brain synchronization machines that use light and sound. Is this a similar technology?
I'm familiar with those systems. This is not the same technology at all.
Okay. Well, what are the differences? I mean, if people are thinking of these things, and we know that there are other things out there, I mean, what are the factors to consider when you're choosing a system like this?
The light and sound machines that I'm familiar with are really designed to help entrainment for a particular brainwave frequency. So if somebody is not able to keep up to speed and they need more beta wave activity, then they do programs that will help activate that in the brain, and over a sustained period of time that the brain can do that at will. Ours is really more bringing together a brain integration processing. So, for instance, if we look back at interventions that my daughter had, they were really trying to use her auditory processing system, which we later found out was her weakest link. So one way of thinking of that is that they were working higher up in the brain when the problem was, if you will, lower down in her processing ability. So once we were able to get the foundation in, we built the floor, then everything else that was layered on top of that was able to stick and to stay. This was new for her. So what we're really trying to do is to pull together brain and body potential, if you will, by having all of the systems work together in harmony, in synchronicity. And so that would mean the visual system, the auditory system, and the other part of the ear. We think of the ear as the listening system, but there is also this piece of the ear that handles balance and coordination and where the body is in space. If we were to get car sick, then we know that it's the ear that's involved in that. Well, what part of the ear? It's the vestibular system. So that ear is a very important organ because it handles the auditory processing and it handles spatial awareness and where that body, where our body is in space. So those are the pieces that we're bringing together with this kind of system.
And this may be way off base, but what about like motion sickness? So that's something that's also happening from the ear?
That is happening with the ear, and it is the vestibular system. That's those little semicircular canals that are part of the ear. And actually, we have seen people who start out who get motion sickness, and they're listening, and they get on the balance board, and they might feel that a little bit. And what we see over a few weeks is that their motion sickness goes away.
Wow. See, now you need to sell this to the cruise ship lines and anybody. Tell them they can get more clients just by telling their people to look, do this first. If you've been wanting to get on our cruise, but you couldn't do it because of this, here you go. Get this system.
So, well, it's funny, you were speaking earlier about boomers, and this is one area that we know ILS is particularly effective in the sense of bringing together the visual and auditory systems. And as I get older, more and more people that I know have balance problems with their degrading vestibular systems. And we're really looking forward to seeing how we might be able to help that. We hear anecdotally, and again, we don't have any studies on this particular topic, but we do hear all the time from parents that my child used to get sick, car sick in the back seat, and that doesn't happen anymore. So we do know that we're affecting that tendency toward motion sickness, and we're looking forward to seeing how we might be able to affect an older person or an aging boomer as they start to lose vestibular function.
Well, I might be your test subject after all. So let me go. One of the things that I saw also, and before we run out of time, and I noticed on the website that that you have a program guarantee. How do you guarantee something like this?
We guarantee it for clinics and schools, okay, where the program is being done in a sort of controlled environment where we know that compliance is going to occur. The way in which we guarantee it is not through any specific yardstick in terms of academic or other types of gains. It's more in terms of the client satisfaction. Therapists know if something is working. Parents know if something's working. Schools know if they have a therapy that is good and they want to continue. And we are simply offering, we started doing this about a year ago because the results we were seeing in the field were so positive. We said, why don't we guarantee the program? If someone's going to use this and really comply with it, we'll guarantee it against their expectations. So if someone completes X number of ILS programs and they say, you know, I really don't think this therapy works, fine, you can return it. We'll give you all of your money back for the training and the equipment. And since that date, we've trained probably hundreds of therapists and educators, and we've not had one person come back and say, I want my money back.
Wow, that speaks volumes. So it's interesting. It's based on their own expectations. I mean, I'm assuming they're reasonable, but that's pretty amazing.
And their own level of satisfaction, that's right. And it is, it's got sort of a built-in honor code to it. You know, we're not requiring any kind of specific test scores or percentage changes or anything like that. It's more a matter of you as an educator or a therapist, do you find this effective? And if not, let us know.
There are really three simple requirements: that they try it with at least three people, and the three people have the kinds of concerns or issues that we say that this would be beneficial for, and if they have any questions, that they've sought our advice. And with that, if anybody were unhappy, then we would refund or buy back their equipment, essentially.
Now, is there, what is the average length of time that someone is working with this system until they start to see results? And what is the average length of time? And is there a completion date or a completion time?
When results are visible, are really all across the board. I get emails from people who notice something on the first or second session. Generally, I tell teachers and therapists that work and parents that we begin to look for some change around session number 10. Could be before, might be after. And then once the progress starts kicking in, we see continued progress throughout the program. The average length of our programs are 40 sessions long, and the speed at which those are done really depends upon the parent. So it can be done 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 5 times a week. So the programs are relatively short. We have some students who are doing more than one program, and so there are different ways where we can customize programs and combinations of programs for each individual.
Okay. And each session is about how long for someone, I mean, not the toddlers, but someone a little bit older?
Our sessions are designed to be 60 minutes in length, Alan.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing is that the 60 minutes is broken up into 4 tracks of 15 minutes each. So it makes it very flexible so that somebody could do 2 half hours rather than 1 solid hour. They could do a half hour, but do it more frequently. So they could do 1 hour 3 times a week or a half hour 5 or 6 times a week. And then we have some very sensitive children that 15 minutes is their maximum. And so they just do their program 15 minutes a day, 4, 5, 6 times a week, and then sometime down the road they may be stepping it up to a half an hour.
Now, would these be maybe young people who've been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD that maybe 15 minutes is about as long as they can focus, or?
More likely a child who has been diagnosed with being on the autistic spectrum.
Okay.
So very often they're more sensitive to their environment, and we usually, our philosophy is to be gentle. And so we want to have a child enter into a program very gently. So just by beginning 15 minutes a day is a nice, gentle entree to doing a program.
Right, and it sounds like, and then you can build from that as long as they're, you know, as long as they feel like they're gaining.
That's right, exactly.
Alan, in response to your comment a minute ago, you were asking, would the 15-minute session be relevant to a person with attention problems who could not pay attention for 60 minutes. The therapy itself is very pleasant, so it doesn't really require very much sustained attention. Once you are wearing the headphones and listening to music, you are able to do other things. The movement and visual tracking piece requires about 15 to 20 minutes of an hour-long session. So you are busy doing that, and when that is completed, some people go out and they take a walk, other people do yoga, other people, you know, kids play Lego, puzzles. There are a number of different things that you can do to keep yourself busy. So it's not a matter of, you know, having to sit in the chair and just sit there with your eyes closed and listen to classical music. No matter how challenged you might be on the attention scale, this is not something that is going to test that.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm very impressed. I'm looking forward to looking into it a little further. and would love to see a way to get this more into the, especially the public school system, but literally into all the systems. So let's see if we can do that. I will do what I can at this point. I want to thank you two so much for coming on, and I hope that we can do this again and you can have even more success stories.
Thank you, Alan.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you, Alan.
You're very welcome. All right. I want to encourage all of you, our listeners, to share Answers with the Family with your family, your friends and associates who could benefit from the wealth of information provided by our guests. I mean, this is a great example of that. You know, this is something that really can benefit our kids. And like I said, I mean, as a boomer myself, I think I'm going to check it out. So, if you go to our website, it's www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. You can listen to each of our shows, as well as view information and links to our guests' websites. In addition, you can submit questions for upcoming guests, or submit topic suggestions for people that you think we should have on this show. Now, until next week, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. I know I am.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.